Today's daf is Shabbos daf Yud Dalet, and we are about 25 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, the two dots, Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, and today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Shneir Zalman Ben Yosef Menachem Mendel. So at the very end of yesterday's daf, we began the Mishnah that mentioned the Yud Ches Dvarim. So we're going to become a lot more familiar with the Yud Ches Dvarim during the coming Dafin. But for now, the Mishnah mentioned that the halacha that one is not allowed to learn Torah on Shabbos la'iraner, and the halacha that one is not allowed to check his clothing for lice Lo'ir Haner, of course, on Shabbos, were from the halachos that were said in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Goroin. What was taking place in this attic? The Chachamim had gone to visit Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Goroin. When they were there, there were Talmidim of Shammai and there were Talmidim of Hillel there. In other words, there was Beis Shammai and there was Beis Hillel. There was a major Milchemta Shel Torah regarding 18 halachos. Nimnu v'gamru at that time in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Goroin with regards to those 18 shailas, and they paskined regarding all 18 of those shailas, like Beis Shammai, as we're going to see. So again, we're discussing these 18 halachas. Why? Because the previous Mishnah had discussed two halachas that are Negeya, Hilchos Shabbos, that were from the halachas that were said in the Aliyah of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Goroin. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Mi Kosav Megillas Tainus. So the Gemara in many places talks about a scroll known as Megillas Tainus. The Gemara talks about it in Masechtas Tainus and Masechtas Rosh Hashanah and other places as well. What was Megillas Tainus? So Megillas Tainus was a brisa of some sort. It was a scroll that discussed certain days on the Hebrew calendar where Yeshuas had befallen Klal Yisrael. And because of those Yeshuas, says the Megillas Tainus, Ilein Yoimaya, these are days, the Loyla Hisana behind, that one is not allowed to fast, Umiksasa in the Loyla Misbat behind. And some of them are even a bigger yontif, you're not even allowed to make a hespit. So if somebody dies, just like a yontif, there's no hespit on these days, there would be no hespit either. So these were days, a collection of days, where good things that happened to the Yidden, as a result, they on some level were treated as a yontif. The Loyla Sana behind, Umiktsasa in the Loyla Misbat behind. The Gemara says in different places there were days that not only were you not allowed to fast and be maspid on the day itself, but sometimes even the day before, sometimes even the day after. Regardless, says the Gemara, who is the author of Megillas Tainus? Amru, they say, Hananya ben Chizkiya v'siyasai. It was Hananya ben Chizkiya and his chevra, Shahayu mechavevin es atzaros. And the reason that they wrote Megillas Tainus is because they loved tzaros. Now Rashi says Megillas Tainus is not a collection of tzaris, just the opposite. It's a collection of days that you're not allowed to fast. It's a collection of days that you're not allowed to be maspid. It's a collection of yeshuas. But says Rashi, that what the Gemara means is not that they were mechaviv the tzaris, but they were mechaviv the geula that came from those tzaris. So they were so excited, they had such an appreciation for different nisim and different geulois that happened, that they decided to write down these dates, and that l'doiros they would be treated on some level as a yontif. Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, "Af anu mechavim es hatzaris." Really, we love the tzaris as well. However, avol ma naseh shembanu lichtoiv. If we're going to sit down now and we're going to write down every day that we were speared from a tzara, ein anu maspikin. It's not going to be shaykh because every single day is going to end up having to be a yontif. Meaning, there's so many tzaris and Hashem is saving us so often that it would be impossible to have it. Megillas Tainus. Once upon a time, every now and again, there was a tzara. As a result, every now and again, we had a geula. So every now and again, you could celebrate a yontif. But you're going to make yontif every day? It doesn't make sense. Tavar Achim, Shem Gamliel said a different shot why, even though we're mechaviv the tzaras, but we're not involved anymore in Megillas Tainus because ain't shayta nifka, because we're so foolish that we don't fully appreciate the tzaras. We don't fully appreciate the geulas. Tavar Achim, ain't basra meis, margish. If somebody is not alive anymore, baser meis, dead flesh doesn't feel an izemel, a knife that's making an incision in it. So said Rav Shimon Gamliel, we're dead today, so to speak. And as a result, we don't feel the tzaris. We don't feel the gula. Is that true? That ein basar ames margish bizem of amrav yitzchak kasher rima lames kemachat bebasar. That when a person dies and he's buried, the worms that start eating at his flesh are so kasher that the body feels it, just like when a person's alive, he feels a needle when he gets punctured. It's in that way that the mace feels the rimush. And as the pasuk says, "Ach b'saroi olav yicha v'nafshei olav te'eval." The point is that it's not true that ein basar ames margish b'yizemel. Just the opposite. Kosher rimul v'mace kemachat b'basar achai. So the Gemara says, "Ema ein basar hamesh abechai margish b'yizemel." When a person's dead and he's buried, so then the person's going to feel. He's going to experience the worms, even though he's dead. But when a person's alive and he has dead skin, then if somebody would puncture it, he wouldn't feel it. And that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel was referring to. Again, we're talking about Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gari. So the first thing we mentioned about him is that he's the author of Megillas Tainus. Says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, that there's another thing for which Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gorin is Zachar Latoyv. Meaning there's another element to his legacy. And that is Shulmolihu, were it not for him, Nigna Sefer Yecheskel. Sefer Yecheskel would have been buried. Shayudvar of Soyser and Divrei Torah, because there were certain parts of Sefer Yecheskel that was Soyser Divrei Torah. Rashi quotes the Gemara Menachas, Daf Memhei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara gets into some specific examples. The one example that Rashi quotes is that in Sefer Yecheskel, it's mashma that only Kayhanim are not allowed to eat Nevela. But if someone's not a Kayin, it sounds like maybe he's allowed to eat Nevela. But the point is that there were things in Sefer Yecheskel that was Soysa Divrei Torah. So Ma'os, so what did Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gorin do? Halaloi Gimel Meis Garbi Shemen. He quarantined himself. He took 300 barrels of oil, the Yoshev Ba'aliyah, and he sat by himself in an attic, the Darshan, and he darshaned it. And it was during that time that Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gorin was sitting by himself in an attic with 300 barrels of wine, that the Chamim came to be Mavakir. And it's at that time that the Yud Ches Dvarim, the Shmoina Asa Dvarim happened. Either way, so we're talking about the Yud Ches Dvarim that were instituted in the attic of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gorin. So Derech Agav, we mentioned two other things about Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Gorin. Number one, he's the author of Megillas Tainus. Number two, he was in the attic because he made it his mission to reconcile some of the very difficult psukim in Sefer Yecheskel. Difficult because they seem to contradict psukim in the Torah, and it was during that time that they came to visit him. Regardless, the Gemara now is going to shift its attention and start getting involved in the Yud Ches Dvarim. And the truth is that the Yud Ches Dvarim require an introduction. We're not going to go into it today. Maybe we'll go into it in the next stop. But for now, says the Gemara, my niyu, what were the Yud Ches Dvarim? My niyu, shmei nasa davar. So the Gemara did not. It begins with a Mishnah in Mesechtes Zovin that discusses halachos that are negeya tuma v'tahira. So the truth is that the first group of the Yud Ches Dvarim that the Gemara is going to mention in today's daf are all related to tuma v'tahira. So I think it's kedai to just refresh our memory and have a very, very brief introduction of Tumah V'Tahira. So really, to do a proper introduction of Tumah V'Tahira would be very lengthy. And what we like to do is that depending on the sugya that we're learning and the pertinent information for that particular sugya, to try to focus the introduction to that sugya. So just as it relates to Mesechtes Shabbos Daf Yudalid, the Tumah V'Tahira component. So again, a brief introduction. We know that there are many sources of Tumah. For example, a nevela is a source of tumah. A mace, a dead human being, is a source of tumah. A nida, zav, a mitzayra, they're sources of tumah. They're shmoina shiratzim, that when they're dead, they too are sources of tumah. We also know that not all tumah was created equally, meaning not all tumas are the same qualitatively in terms of the level of tumah that they have. Additionally, not all tumas are the same in terms of how they convey tumah. So for example, a sheretz is tameh, but it's only mitama al yidei maga. So if somebody touches the tumah, he would become tameh. But if somebody carries it or someone's in the same room as the sheretz, he won't be tameh. And a nevela is more chamer. A nevela conveys tumah not only if somebody makes direct contact with it, but it's metama tumas masa as well. A mace is even more tumah than a nevela. Again, these are just examples. A mace is metama b'maga, it's metama b'masa, it's even metama b'oil. So if somebody's in the same room as a mace, he's considered contaminated by the mace, and he would be tumah. what's known as Tumas oil. Now, any source of Toma is what's known as an Avatoma. If someone or something comes in contact with an Avatoma, it becomes Tame. It's what's known as a Rishon Latoma. If something comes in contact with a Rishon Latoma, it becomes a Sheni Latoma. If something comes in contact with a Sheni Latoma, it becomes a Shlishi Latoma. If something comes in contact with a Shlishi Latoma, it becomes a Revi Latoma. If something comes in contact with a Revi Latoma, there's no Toma. Meaning, Toma goes up until Revi Latoma, past Revi Latoma, there's no such thing as Toma anymore. Now, why are there different names? Avatoma, Rishon Latoma, Sheni Latoma, Shlishi Latoma, Revi Latoma. The reason is because as Toma travels, meaning as it conveys from one thing to another, the level of the Toma gets diluted. So a Rishon Latoma is more Tame than a Sheni Latoma. A Sheni is more Tame than a Shlishi. A Shlishi is more Tame than a Revi. If all the Tomas were the same, then you wouldn't have names for them. The reason we have names is because qualitatively, the Toma gets diluted somewhat as it travels from one person to another. So the Avatoma is the father, that's the source. Everything after the Avatoma, what's known as Vlodos of Toma, Rishon is less Tomei than an Avatoma, Sheni is less than a Rishon, Shlishi is less than a Sheni, and Revi is less than a Shlishi. Now, an Avatoma can be Matama everything. It can be Matama Adam, Kelim, Oichlin, Mashkin. If somebody comes in contact with an Avatoma, it becomes a Rishon Latoma. A Rishon Latoma could only be Matama Oichlin or Mashkin. So if a Keli or a person would come in contact with a Rishon Latoma, he wouldn't be Tomei. If food comes in contact with a Rishon Latoma, it becomes a Sheni Latoma. A Sheni Latoma could also only be Metama food, but it's even more restricted. It could only be Metama Truma or Kachem. If Truma or Kachem come in contact with a Sheni Latoma, it becomes a Shlishi Latoma. A Shlishi Latoma could also only be Metama food, but it could only be Metama Kachem. It can't even be Metama Truma. Either way, that's the basic halach of Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi. So it's important to note, and again, this is very negeya the daf, and that is that a Sheni Latoma, once something's on the level of a Sheni Latoma, it can't be Metama Chulin anymore. It could only be Metama Truma, or Kachin. A Shlishi can't even be Metama Truma. It could only be Metama Kachin. So if somebody tells you that something is a Chulin and it's a Shlishi Latoma, it's not Emes. Because it's not possible to have a Shlishi Latoma of Chulin. It's not possible to have a Revi Latoma of Truma. Says the Gemara on that note, my niyush my nasa davar. What exactly war? The yud ches dvarim. Says the Gemara to Tam, learned in the Mishnah. Elo poislin asa Truma. The following are examples of Toma that can make Truma tame. It can make truma puzzle. Now, if the following are examples of things that make truma tame, what does that mean by definition? What level of tuma are these things going to be? They're going to be sheni latuma. Because if they were rishon latuma, they're not only metama truma, they could also be metama chulin. If they were shlishi latuma, they wouldn't be able to be metama truma. They'd only be able to be metama kachem. So by saying elu poisel and asa truma, that's another way of saying that these are all sheni latuma. So the Mishnah is going to give a long example, 10 examples to be precise, of things that are sheni latuma. Number one, ha'oichel oichel rishon. If somebody eats food, that's tame. That was a rishon latoma. Or v'ha'oichel oichel sheni. Or if somebody eats food that was tame, that was a sheni latoma. V'hashoyse mashkin tmeim. Or if someone drinks mashkin, that is tame. So if somebody eats food that's tame, or if somebody drinks food that's tame, he himself, she herself becomes Tomei. What level of Toma? Sheni Latoma. Now, this is a very big chiddush because midday raisa, if somebody eats Toma, he doesn't become Tomei. The only exception to that rule, meaning the only time if somebody eats something Tomei, midday raisa, he becomes Tomei, is if he eats the nevela of an oif tahar, where the halachi is that when the nevela of the oif tahar is in his base ablia, it's metama the begadim that he's wearing. That's the famous chiddush of Nivlas oif tahar, that it's metame begodim abeis abliya. It's a very unique type of tumah. The Gemara talks about it in Zvachim and Menachis and Chulin. It's a very, very unique type of tumah. But other than that, if somebody eats tumah, he doesn't become tumah. Stating that, in this Mishnah Masechtas Zavim, this was all included in the takanas of the Yud Ches Dvarim, it was said that if somebody eats food, that's a Rishon Latoma. If somebody eats food, that's a Sheni Latoma. If somebody drinks mashkin, the halach is they would be tamei. Now notice, by mashkin, it doesn't distinguish between rishon and sheni. Ha'oichol, oichol rishon, that's number one. Ha'oichol, oichol sheni, that's number two. V'asheisa mashkin tamei. Why by mashkin don't we break it down between a rishon latoma and a sheni latoma? The reason is because all mashkin is a rishon latoma. It's a takanas chachamim that mashkin that comes in contact with a Rishon becomes a Rishon. Mashkin that comes in contact with a Sheni even becomes a Rishon. All Mashkin are Rishon Tuma, as we're soon going to see. If somebody went to the mikvah because he was Tame, and after he went to the Kosher mikvah, he then went into a mikvah that was Mayim Shu'uvim. Roshay Berube went into this body of water that was Mayim Shu'uvim. Now we know a mikveh has to be 40 saw. That's the shear of a mikveh. Now it doesn't mikveh have to be 40 saw, but all 40 saw has to be rainwater. It has to be 40 saw of Mei Geshamim. Mayim Shu'uvim, water that was taken out of a well, is possible for a mikveh. If a person went to a kosher mikveh, and after he went to the kosher mikveh, he went Roshay Berube into Mayim Shu'uvim, the halach is he would become Tameh. What type of Tumah? He's poisel as a truma, which means he's a sheni l'tumah. V'tar shenafla roish rubish leish lugin mayim shuvim. Additionally, someone that's tar, not someone that went to the mikveh that day, but someone that's a regular person that's tar. He hasn't been tame in a week. He hasn't been tame in a little while. So this person that's 100% tar, shenaflu al roishoy v'rubish leish lugin. He didn't go into the water. He wasn't a bar roishoy v'rubish mayim shuvim, but rather the water fell on him. It came to him. The halach is if there was three lugin of mayim shuvim, that would make him tame. V'has sefer. If somebody touches Kisvei HaKodesh, if somebody touches the Klaf of the Sefer Torah, or any one of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, the halach is he becomes Tomei. What level of Toma? Sheni L'Toma. Vayodayim. Stam Yodayim are a Sheni L'Toma. Vatful Yoy. The Gemara will explain what that means. Va'oichlim v'hakelim shenitlu b'mashkin. The Gemara is going to explain what that means as well. These are all examples of Sheni L'Toma. So the Gemara is going to go through one at a time. So again, we had a list of 10 examples of things that are poislin as atruma, meaning these examples of sheni l'toma. The first one was ha'oichel oichel rishayim. The second one was ha'oichel oichel sheni. If somebody eats food that's a rishon l'toma, somebody eats food that's a sheni l'toma, or v'ashoysa mashkin tumeim. If somebody drinks mashkin tumeim, talach is the person in all these examples becomes a sheni l'toma. Zok t'gumar, man tano ha'oichel oichel rishayim, oichel oichel sheni, mifsal pasli, tumuye loy metamu. Who's the tano that holds that if somebody eats food that's tummy, that's a rishon l'tumah. Somebody eats food that's tummy, that's a sheni l'tumah. That loch is pasli. He will become a sheni l'tumah. However, temuyeh loy mitami, he doesn't have the ability to be mitame truma. Now, what's the difference between mifsel pasli and temuyeh mitami? So, the word pasul and tummy often are interchangeable, but in the context of tumah v'tahira, they have very, very specific meanings. When something is pasul, it means it becomes tameh, but it doesn't have the ability to be metama. When something is tameh, in the context of tumah v'tahira, it means it becomes tameh, and it does have the ability to be metama. So when the Mishnah said, elu poislin es atruma, poisl means that these examples of sheni l'toma have the ability to make the tumah a shlishi l'toma, but at the same time, the truma itself wouldn't, if it became tameh, wouldn't have the ability to go be metama vayter. So the Gemara says, who is the Tana that holds that? Amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Rabbi Yeshua. It's Rabbi Yeshua. Tami Lunt the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah Masechtes Tyrus. So we're going from a Mishnah Masechtes Zovim to a Mishnah Masechtes Tyrus. Rabbi Eliezer says, Oichal Oichal Rishoin Rishoin. If somebody eats food that's a Rishon L'Toma, he himself becomes a Rishon L'Toma. Oichal Oichal Sheini Shein. If somebody eats food that's a Sheini L'Toma, he too becomes a Sheini L'Toma. Oichal Shlishi. What if somebody eats food that's a Shlishi L'Toma? Shlishi becomes a Shlishi L'Toma. That's clearly not the Tana of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if you eat a Rishon or a Sheini, you become a Sheini. Here, Rabbi Eliezer clearly says, you eat a Rishon, you're a Rishon. Yid a sheni, yid a sheni, yid a shlishi, yid a shlishi. Rabbi Shua says, "Oichel, oichel rishon, ve'oichel sheni, sheni." If you eat a rishon or you eat a sheni, in both cases you become a sheni. Shlishi. What if you eat a sheni, shlishi, sheni lekoidish? You become a sheni as it relates to koidish. The ain't sheni letruma. However, you don't become a sheni with regards to truma. Meaning, if somebody eats food that's a shlishi letruma, the halacha is that he would become a sheni l'toma regarding kachim. Meaning, if you touch kachim, you would make the kachim a shlishi, which would now give that kachim the ability to be metama more kachim and make it into a revi. But you wouldn't be a sheni l'truma. Meaning, if you ate the shlishi l'toma and then you touched truma, you wouldn't even make the truma into a shlishi l'toma. So you have a din of a sheni l'toma as it relates to kachim. You have no din of a sheni l'toma as it relates to truma. Now, how's it possible for someone to eat a shlishi l'toma? So Pashu, you say, what do you mean? You ate truma, you ate kachim. But the problem is, if somebody eats truma that's tamei, and somebody eats kachim that's tamei, he's over serious averis. Someone eats kachim that's tamei, it's tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. He's chayv karis. If he does b'shoigig, he has to bring an oil of yoyred. That's a very big deal. So chances are we're not discussing someone that was just over a chayvi krisos. So we're probably talking about someone that did a beheter. So how is it possible beheter to eat a shlishi l'tumah? It's not possible. if it's a shlishi l'tumah, by definition, it must be truma or kachim. So the Gemara says it's possible. B'chulin shenasu al tayrus truma. There were certain people that they used to watch their chulin as if it was truma, as if it was kachim. And the halacha is, if somebody watches his truma, he observes his truma, he's a big machmer, as if it's truma, it gets halachas of truma. So that just like truma is subject to the laws of shlishi l'tumah, chulin shenasu al tayrus truma is also subject to the laws of shlishi l'tumah. So when Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer were discussing someone that ate a shlishi l'tumah, what level of tuma does he attain? It's talking about not someone that ate truma that was tameh or kachim that was tameh. Atu bereshi askina. We're not talking about a rasha. Rather, it's talking about someone that ate chulin shenasu al tayrus atruma, which is subject to the laws of shlishi latoma. Either way, says the Gemara, oichol oichol rishon v'oichol oichol sheni. My time goes Rabbi Rabbanu. So we clarify that who's the time of our missions? Clearly, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says that if someone eats a rishon or a sheni, he becomes a sheni. That's what the Mishnah said. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you eat a rishon, you're a rishon. If you eat a sheni, you're a sheni. So the Gemara says, what's pshat in this takanas chachamim? So these are the first two of the Yud Ches Dvarim. What's this all about? The Zimnan, the Achal Oichlan Tmeim. The Gemara says it was all a takana because we were afraid that somebody might be eating food that's tameh. The shakum mashkin the truma. So if you eat food that's tameh, food that's a sheni latoma, what happens if while you're eating the food, you decided to drink a mashka that's truma? You put the mashkin of truma in your mouth while you had the food in your mouth, and you'd end up being metama the truma. So what? Two things. Number one, you're drinking it. You can't drink truma that's tameh. Number two, you're not even allowed to make truma tameh. So what's going to happen is you're ending up getting into a situation, meaning if you're going to be allowed to eat a sheni latoma without any repercussions, we're afraid you may come to be metama truma, and you may come to eat truma that's tameh. That's a very bad thing. So what the Chum said was, if you eat a sheni latoma, you know what happens? You yourself become tameh. You yourself become tameh. That's a good harchaka that people won't want to eat sheni latomas, and people won't come to be metama truma and even eat the truma that's tameh. Shaisa mashkin tameh, my time goes away rabbanon. The next thing in the Mishnah Masechta Zavim was that if somebody drinks mashkin that's tameh, he too becomes tameh. Why the Chamin make that takana? So the Gemara says the reason the rabbanon made that tuma was the zimn and the shasa mashkin. It's the same thing. Because if we don't want people to drink mashkin that's tameh, because if you drink mashkin that's tameh, even if it's a sheni latuma, the shakal oichel the truma, v'shadil lepumi. What happens if while you're drinking it, you're going to put truma in your mouth, the pasul? You're going to end up making the truma pasul. So it's for that reason, Chachamim said that if you eat oichlin, that's tameh, you drink mashkin, that's tameh, you yourself become tameh, it's a good harchaka not to do it. If you don't do it, you're never going to get into the chshash that while you're eating the oichlin tameh or the mashkin tameh, you're going to end up putting truma in your mouth, be metama the truma, which is a problem, and then eat the truma that's tameh, which is even a bigger problem. Says in where haynu hach, why do Chum have to make two takanas? Why are they separate takanas? Oichel, if you eat food that's tameh, you become tameh. If you drink mashkin, that's tameh. Isn't it one big gzeira? So why are we counting it as separate gzeiras? So the Gemara says, no, because each one is a little unique. Ma'adu tema, I would have thought, ha-shchichi v'ha-lo ishchichi kamash malon. It's shchiach to drink while you're eating. It's not shchiach to eat while you're drinking. Right? If you're middle of drinking, you usually don't put food in your mouth. But if you're eating, sometimes you'll put a drink in your mouth. So it could have been argued that it's more shchiach that while you're eating food that's tummy, you may put the truma mashkin in your mouth. So maybe that's a reasonable cheshash. But in the reverse, maybe it's not so reasonable. That's why kamashma, the chacham went ahead and the chachamim singled out that if you eat the oichel tummy, you become tummy. If you drink the mashkin tummy, you become tummy as well. The next of the Yud Ches Dvarim was v'abo roishoy v'rubay b'mayim sh'ufim. So somebody went to the mikvah because he was tummy. After he went to the mikvah, he comes out and now he went roishoy v'rubay into mayim sh'ufim. He's tummy. That doesn't make sense. Why is he tummy? My time goes to be a rabbanon tumas. So clearly, it's a tumas de rabbanon. But what's the reason for this? Amar Abibi, Amar Avasi, v'shebetchila hayu tayvul me'maris. Because in the olden days, people used to tayvul in ma'aris. They used to tayvul in caves. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you see some of these mikvahs, and they're very dirty. Mechunasin, usruchin, sometimes they smell. Vayenoisin alei mayim shuvim. So what they would do is, after they came out of the mikvah, they would wash themselves afterwards with mayim shuvim, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But hischilu vasam keva, what happened was, they started making it into a keva. Gazra alayim tumas, and the Chachamim said, you know what, if you put mayim shuvim on you, you're going to eat tumas. And keva, what does that mean? Amar Abaye, shayo oirin, they used to say, lo ye'elu mitarin, el ye'elu ve'elu mitarin. Meaning, b'meshach hazman, people forgot. They thought that it's not just the ma'ara that makes the person tar, it's the ma'ara and the mayim shu'uvim that he poured on top of him after he came out of the ma'ara. So you know what the Chacham said? That's not a good thing. So just let's just eliminate the mayim shu'uvim. How do you eliminate the mayim shu'uvim? By telling people, you're tameh. But the Gemara says, amalei rava, may nafkemino, hakatavli b'hanach. Why the Chacham care that people thought it was the mikvah and the mayim shu'uvim after the mikvah that made the person tar? At the end of the day, they knew they had to go to the mikvah. They were going to the mikvah. Elamai rava, rava said a little different than Abai. Not that it was elu ve'elu matarin. It was loy elu, ela elu. So there was a bad thing that was coming from this. So therefore the Chachamim said that if somebody goes and puts mayim shuvim on him after going to the mikvah, he's going to be tameh. That's a good way to knock it out. Now what was the next thing the Chachamim said? They said v'tahar, Shanaflu al roishoy v'rubay shloisha lugin mayim shuvim. They said that if a tahar put three lugin of mayim shuvim on top of him, so the halach is he too becomes tummy. My time goes to be rabbanon. Meaning, we understand the first halach. What was the first halach? This is a person that went to the mikvah that day. He's a quote unquote full yoy. Now he went into a mikvah of mayim shuvim. So in the olden days they used to do that. Then they started getting confused. They thought the mayim shuvim was the real mikvah. So the Chachamim said, if you're tameh and you go into mayim shuvim, you're going to be tameh. But this next person is a regular tar person. Nafla roish, he took a shower of three lugan of mayim shuvim. Why should he be tameh? He wasn't tameh to begin with. Why should this suddenly it's metama? So the Gemara says, because the Eloi ha lo kaimah. The Chachamim felt the only way to strengthen the original takana was by imposing this takana as well. Meaning, if you're just going to say that a tamei person who went to the mikveh then goes into mayim shu'uvim, he becomes tamei, it's not going to have teeth, that takana. So what the Chachamim said instead was that any person that comes in contact with mayim shu'uvim becomes tamei. That's a good way to be mechazik, the real takana. I mean, they don't care about a tahar coming in contact with mayim shu'uvim. They care about a person that went to the mikveh or has to go to the mikveh, and instead of going to a regular mikveh, he's going to end up going to mayim shu'uvim. He's the person we're worried about. So the way we're mechazik the takana of a tful yoim that goes into mayim shuvim becomes tamei is by saying any person that comes in contact on some level with mayim shuvim is going to be tamei. V'sefer. So that's for sure the most surprising one. Someone that touches a sefer Torah becomes tamei. How could that be? Sefer Torah is the greatest ketusha in the world. So you come in contact with a sefer Torah, you become tamei. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, my time goes by Rabbanu Tumah, Remesharshio, Shabetchilo, Hoyimatzin, that's Oichlan, the Truma, it's a Sefer Torah. Because in the olden days, people used to hide their Truma next to a Sefer Torah. What was the rationale? Va'omru, they would say, Hai Kodesh, Va'hai Kodesh. Makes sense, Truma's Kodesh. Where should we hide our Truma? Let's keep it together with the Sefer Torah. So they would literally keep it in the Aron Kodesh. You know what happened? Keeping the Kachazot, the Kachazot, they say the. But things started happening because the mice and the Achbarim and all the Shkotzim and Ramasim were starting to come to eat the food. So in the olden days, they didn't have good hygiene. And what happened is they were being mafsid the Sefer Torah. And the Chachamim didn't want the Sefer Torah should become ruined. So you know what the Chachamim said? Gazru be Rabban and Toma. The Chachamim said that a Sefer Torah is a Sheni L'Toma. If the Sefer Torah is a Sheni L'Toma, or if you touch a Sefer Torah, it's a Sheni L'Toma. You know what's going to happen? No one's going to keep that Truma next to it. So that was a good way of preventing people from keeping their Truma. So of course the Sefer Torah is not Tome. Sefer Torah is the greatest Kedusha in the world. But this was a way of preventing people from keeping their Truma next to the Sefer Torah, which was leading to being mafsid the Sefer Torah because of the Achbarim. Vayodayim. Hands are considered a Sheni L'Toma. This is the best known of all this, of this entire list. And that is a person's hands are considered a Sheni L'Toma. Why? Because hands have a life of their own. So you never know what part of your body or what exactly a hand might have touched. So your hand may have come in contact with Toma, and therefore Stam Yadayim has a din of Sheni L'Toma. It's because Stam Yadayim has a din of Sheni L'Toma that Kayhanim, before they would eat Truma, they would have to wash their hands. It's for that reason, before we eat even chulin, we wash our hands. But that's something the Gemara is going to talk about in length in tomorrow's daf. But for now, Yodayim is just one of the Yudches Dvarim that was mentioned. Says the Gemara, Tanu, we learned to the Braisa, Af Yodayim Abon Machmas Sefer Pais Sa Truma. Meaning, we mentioned earlier that a Sefer Torah is Tameh. So if Truma comes in contact with a Sefer Torah or any Kitzvei Kodesh, it would be Tameh. Sefer Torah is a Sheni L'Toma, and it's Metameh Truma, which is a Shlishi L'Toma. So the Braisa said, not only is the Sefer Tameh, but if a person touches the Sefer, his hands become tame. So how so? It becomes a sheni l'toma that if his hands now touch truma, poisos has a truma. Why? So the Gemara says mishum de raparnach. It's related to raparnach. Tamer raparnach. Rabbi Yochanan. If somebody holds a sefer Torah while he's not wearing any clothing, Nikbar Arum. He's going to be buried, or somebody holds that Sefer Torah, but with the Sefer Torah doesn't have a covering. So he one day is going to be buried Arum. Says the Gemara, Arum Solka Daitach. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Elo Amir Abzeir, meaning they're going to bury the person without Tachrichen. So Abzeir said, Arum B'lay Mitzvahs. Now what it means is he's going to lose all his mitzvahs. B'lay Mitzvahs Solka Daitach, a person holds a Sefer Torah Arum, he loses all his mitzvahs. Ela Ema Arum B'lay Oysa Mitzvah. What it means is he's going to lose the schar of that mitzvah, meaning not allowed to hold a Sefer Torah arm. You can't just make direct contact with a Sefer Torah. There has to be some sort of a mitpacha. So you see, there's an idea that you're not supposed to hold the Sefer Torah. So to be mechazik this idea, the Chachamim went ahead and they said that your dayim haboyin machma sefer also has a din of tumah. What level of tumah does it get? It gets a din of sheni tumah. So we have two halachas of tumah related to your dayim. What was the first one? The first one was, stam yodayim, have a din of sheni l'tumah. Then we said, if hands touch a sefer Torah, the hands become a sheni l'tumah. So the Gemara says, hai gaza bereisha, which one was instituted first? Ilei maha gaza bereisha. If you're going to tell me, stam yodayim, that's the one that was made first. Kiven da hach gaza bereisha, su lamalei, I don't understand. Once the Chachamim made a takana, and they said that stam yodayim, all hands are a sheni l'tumah, why they have to say that hands that touch a sefer Torah are a sheni l'tumah? All hands are a sheni l'tumah. Ella says the Gemara, hach gaza bereisha, first they said that hands that touch the Sefer Torah because they're a parnach, we don't want you to touch the Sefer Torah Arum. So they said that if somebody touches the Sefer Torah, his hands become tummy. And then they decided to expand it. Not only someone who touches the Sefer Torah to his hands become a Sheni Latoma, but all hands have a din of Sheni Latoma. Utful Yoin. Another one of the list was a Tful Yoin. What's a Tful Yoin? Somebody was tummy. He went to the mikvah. So he's not tahar until the sun sets. How do we know that? It's the first Mishnah in Shas. Right from the time that the Kehanim were allowed to eat Truma. What do you mean? The Kehanim that were Tameh, they went to the mikveh during the day. They had to wait until the sun set in order for them to be tar to eat Truma. Until the sun sets, the person's Tameh, what kind of Tumah is he? He's what's known as a Tful Yoin. Meaning he went to the mikveh already, but till the day passes, he's still considered Tameh. Says the Gemara, Tful Yoim Dairaisu. The halach of a Tful Yoim is a Din Dairaisu. Dichsev Uba HaShemesh V'Tahar. The Gemara brings in a brachas Taves, that a person is not considered Tahar until the sun sets. In fact, the Pasuk says, Uba HaShemesh V'Tahar. V'Acha Yoichom V'Nakachem. Only afterwards he'll add a Truma. Only afterwards he'll add a Kachem. So you see that a Midairaisa Tful Yoim has a Din of a Sheni L'Tomah. Why is this in this Mishnah? No? So the Gemara says, you're right. Good question. Sami mikan tful yoyim. Take it out of the Mishnah. Simple enough. The Mishnah said that food that became tameh al yidei mashkin has a din of a sheni l'tum. So the Gemara says, mashkin demai. What kind of mashkin did the food come in contact with? Are we talking about mashkin that became tameh because it touched the sheretz? In other words, just an example of mashkin that's a rishon l'tumah. Meaning, yeah, mashkin that's a rishon l'tumah, it touched food. Dairaisa ninu. That food is a sheni l'tumah midairaisa. So why is it in the Mishnah of the Yud Ches Varm? Yud Ches Varm sounds like it's a Chiddush Midrabanan. Of course, it's a regular Tumah Dairaisa. It's a regular Sheni L'Tumah. The Mashkin came in contact with the Sheretz. It's a Rishon L'Tumah. Now it touched the food. The food's a Sheni L'Tumah. Dichsev v'chol Mashkin Hashem Yishasa. Elo, Mashkin Abba Machos Yodayim. It's talking about Mashkin that touched Yodayim. Meaning, Mashkin that came in contact with Yodayim. Yodayim, we said, is a Sheni L'Tumah Midrabanan. The halacha is, if food now touches that mashkin, the food's going to be a sheni l'tumah. Now this is a tremendous chiddush. Why is it a tremendous chiddush? Because the yadayim is a sheni l'tumah. It touched the mashkin. The mashkin should be a shlishi l'tumah. At best, maybe a sheni l'tumah. How's the mashkin now touching oichlin of chulin and making it into a sheni l'tumah? The teretz is this is the chiddush of Thomas mashkin, and that is. Mashkin has a chiddush that it's always a rishon l'tumah. And even if the mashkin comes in contact with a sheni l'tumah, it still gets the din of a rishon l'tumah. So the yodayim touched the mashkin. The yodayim was a sheni l'tumah. It made the mashkin tameh. Once the mashkin's tameh, it automatically reverts into a rishon l'tumah. If it touches now eichlin, the eichlin becomes a sheni l'tumah. This kemuvin is a din derabanan. It's not your din derayisa because the mashkin is not a regular rishon l'tumah in derayisa. Being that this is only a din derabanan, so it's for that reason this halacha is part of the yud ches dvar. Now, says why the chavim made this takana? Why did they say that tumas mashkin should be a rishon l'tumah? Gzeir mishum mashkin about machmas sheretz because they were afraid if. Because of mashkin, that's ba machmas sheretz. When mashkin touches the sheretz, it's a bona fide rishon latoma, and it makes chulin oichlin a sheni latoma. So the Chachamim said we're going to make all mashkin tummy into a rishon latoma. Gzeru atu mashkin abba machmasheretz. Now Rashi asks an obvious question. Again, tumas mashkin comes up a lot in Chas. And Rashi asks a very obvious question, and that is this same takana of mashkin abba machmasheretz you can have by oichlin abba machmasheretz. So if tumas mashkin is always a rishon latoma, why isn't oichlin always a rishon latoma? Yet it's mashkin that we say it always has the din of a rishon latoma. You don't have this by oichlin. So Rashi says it's an important Rashi. It's because mashkin is more olol, it's more vulnerable to become tameh than oichlin is. Oichlin only becomes tameh if it becomes huchsha lekabel toma. It needs to comply with the laws of mesechtes machshirin. It has to become wet, you have to be happy with the fact that it became wet, but it only becomes tameh after it was huchsha lekabel toma. Mashkin is tameh even if it wasn't huchsha lekabel toma. So being that mashkin is more olol to become tameh, that's why Tumas Mashkin the Chachamim were Machmer. It's one of the Yud Ches Dvarim, and that's why the Alachid has a din of a Rishon LaTuma. Vakelus Shenitbum B'Mashkin, and finally Kalim that becomes Tumah Al Yedei Mashkin. The Halach is has a din of a Sheni LaTuma. So the Gemara says Kalim the Itbum B'Mashkin the Mai. When we say the Kalim became Tummy through Mashkin, what kind of Mashkin did the Kalim become Tummy from? Even the Mashkin the Zav. Oh, we're talking about the Mashkin of a Zav. So a Zav is an Avatoma. The Halach is that all the Mayonos of a Zav, any Mashkin that comes out of a Zav, his spit, for example, the Halach is also has a din of an Avatoma. So if the keli would become in contact with the mashkin of the zav, the keli would be tameh. It would be a rishon latoma midei raisa. Why? Because the mashkin of the zav has a din of an avatoma, so it'd be metame the kelim, it'd make it into a regular rishon latoma. The Gemara says dei raisa nenu. For this, I don't need yud ches dvarim. That's a din dei raisa. The chesivchi yorek hazav batahar. Masha biyat tariti meitzi lecha. This is mesachtes nida 101. So says the Gemara. You're right. Elavim mashkin abba machmasheretz. We're talking about a keli. Here's a big chiddush that touched mashkin, that touched the sheretz. Sheretz touched mashkin. So the mashkin is a rishon latoma. Now the rishon latoma, that's the mashkin, touch the keli. The keli is going to be tameh. Now this is a very big chiddush because the mashkin is a rishon latoma. So if the mashkin is a rishon latoma, it has to be metame keli. Only an avatoma can be metame keli. An avatoma can be metame adam, kelim, oichlin, mashkin. It makes it into a rishon latoma. A rishon latoma can only be metame oichlin or mashkin. It makes it into a shady. A shady can only time a truma. But the point is that mashkin that came in contact with the mashkin that became tummy because it came in contact with from the sheretz is a rishon latoma. If it's a rishon latoma, has it been tama kelim? The teretz is this is another chiddush in tumas mashkin. There's two chiddushim in tumas mashkin. The first chiddush is that it always has a din of a rishon latoma. The second chiddush of tumas mashkin is that any time tumas mashkin has an ability to be metame kelim. That's a very big chiddush. Usually a rishon latoma can't be metame kelim. And by the way, both chiddushim come together. Meaning, if you have a sheni latoma that's mashkin, the mashkin will become a rishon latoma. Not only would it become a rishon latoma, it'd have the ability to be metame kelim. Meaning, you can converge the two chedushim. It doesn't have to be a legitimate mashkin of a rishon latoma. Even if you have a mashkin that's a rishon latoma because of the yud ches dvarim, the halacha is that mashkin would have the ability to be metame. Not only oichlin or mashkin would have the ability to be metame kelim. Why the chachamim make this gzeira? Gzeira mishum mashkin dezav. Mashkin dezav is an avatoma, so that could be metame kelim. So the chachamim said the mashkin that's a rishon latoma, even though really it shouldn't be able to be metame kelim, we want it to be metame kelim. Exhale. So just two ha'aris that relate, two light ha'aris that relate to this daf, the first of the four dafin in which the Gemara is going to discuss the Yud Ches Dvarim. So number one, the Gemara mentioned Megillas Tainus. So we spoke a little bit about Megillas Tainus in the introduction. Megillas Tainus was a scroll that mentioned certain days, not that you have to fast. Sounds like Megillas Tainus, days that you're supposed to fast. Just the opposite. Megillas Tainus was a collection, a compilation of days where you're not allowed to fast. And some of them were even the Loyla Mispat Bahim. And who is the author of the Megillas Tainus? The author of the Megillas Tainus is very clear. It's a Gemara. The Gemara said, who wrote it? Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garin. He's the one that wrote it. Now, although the Gemara says that Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garin wrote the Megillas Tainus, the Achronim speak out, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin and his Hakdama to his Pirush on Seder Olam, and others say as well that it's clear that it's not possible that Hananiah v'Chizkiah were going and wrote the entire Megillas Tainis. And his raya is because the Gemara, because if you go through Megillas Tainis, there are different Tanoim that are mentioned in the Megillas Tainis. In fact, there are Tanoim that are mentioned in the Megillas Tainis that lived well after Hananiah v'Chizkiah ben Gorin. So when did Hananiah v'Chizkiah ben Gorin live? He for sure lived before the Chorban. And there are certain Tanoim that are mentioned in Megillas Tainis, like Reb Meir and Reb Yossi. These were Tanoim that were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. These were already second, third generation. This is after the Chorban. So it's not possible then that Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin wrote Brises quoting Reb Meir. It just doesn't work out. So you have to say that Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin started writing it, but really, he's not the one that finished it. Now, as it relates to when exactly it was written, so again, it seems like it started with Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin, and it must have been completed later. It must have been completed later by the Tanna. But there's a very interesting medrash. This is a medrash in Esther Rabba. So the medrash says like this. The medrash says that when Esther went to Mordechai and told Mordechai, "Lech knoises kol ha'yehudim ha'nimtzim b'shushan v'tzuma alai v'al toichlu v'al tishtu shloishes yomim laila v'yoyim." So the medrash says like this. Nene Mordechai v'amal Esther. Mordechai told Esther, "How could we fast? Harei amrit ligzar tainis ve'inu yochel avatu Megillas Tainis." Says, "I can't." It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan when this is all taking place, and he said, "I can't. It's this Megillas Tainis shekasa behen." Because if you go through Megillas Tainis, it says that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the eighth day of Nisan, karav atomet loy lemispat behind veloy lesana behind. Those are Megillas Tainis days. You're not allowed to fast on those days. And not just that, it says from the ninth day until Pesach, again, you're not allowed to fast. And then you have Pesach. V'at amr gzor tainis, she yotzumu gimu yomim biyudalid, yom shesheichna b'yisah Pesach, ubetazvav is yontiv, ubetazayim was karva oimrat tnufa. So Mordechai told Esther, "I don't know what you want. Lech knois es kol ha'yehudim, we pasha don't have time right now. I'm going through the calendar. The calendar doesn't allow for it. Because you have Megillas tainis." Sholchav amraloi. So she sent back to Mordechai and she said like this, "At zekenun shel Yisrael. You're the leader of Klal Yisrael now. Im ein Yisrael ba'olam. If there's no Klal Yisrael, mahamayadis yofin. What's the point in having yontif? Im ein Yisrael, if there's no Klal Yisrael, lama Torah. Well, what's the point in having the Torah if there's no Klal Yisrael? Mutav levatol mitzvah achas. Ula yirachamu aleinu min hashamayim. I understand that it's not the perfect thing to do, but we don't have a choice right now. We're living in imperfect times. If Haman is going to be successful with his gzeira, then there's going to be no Klal Yisrael. And if there's no Klal Yisrael, we don't need Yontif. We don't need the Torah. And Ein Yisrael, Lama Torah. That's sharp. Lama Torah. So go ahead, and this is something that you have to do. And really, you see two things from this medrash. Number one, you see from this medrash, this is taking place in the times of Purim. Purim is way before the Purim. Is during Golus Bavel, right? The very end of Golus Bavel, right before the second base of Mikdash was built. So that means Purim time, this is hundreds of years before Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin, who lived at the end of Bayis Sheni, and we're quoting Megillas Tainis. So, Dr. Reiner will point out that you see that Megillas Tainis is still being developed after Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin. So even though the Gemara says here, Shabbos Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin is the one that wrote it. It means he started writing it. It's not possible that he finished it. L'chura, here you have a reference to Megillas Tainis that's hundreds of years before Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin. So that's something that you have to figure out. But more than that, you see how chomer Megillas Tainis was. Megillas Tainis was so chomer that Mordechai's first reaction to Esther was, "Lech knoises kol ha'yehudim ha'nimzim v'shushan v'tzum olay v'al." I'm looking at the calendar. I can't find the day to do it. I don't have 3 days. Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the eighth day is this, from the eighth until this is that, and then we have Yontiv, and then it's Chol HaMoed. It's not possible. I can't figure out a time to do it. You see how chomer Megillas Tainis was, how seriously people took it, that they simply felt that it wasn't possible. Now, what's just one interesting thing as relates to Megillas Tainis? Chanukah is mentioned in Megillas Tainis. Chanukah is mentioned in Megillas Tainis. In fact, if you look at Megillas Tainis, if you have the Braisa, you can buy it at your local Svarim store. So if you have the Megillas Tainis, it's broken down by date. So if you go to Chanukah, be'esrim v'chamshe be'chanukas yoimen tamya deloy v'mispat. Shekin shenichzum yivanim lehechol, timukol hashmanim shebehechol. And then you have the story with the Chashmeinam, you have the story with the Menorah. It's fascinating. So you have the whole story of Chanukah is mentioned over here in Megillas Tainis. I saw the edition of Megillas Tainis that I have has a pirish from a sefer called Eshel Avram. And the Hakdama to the Baal Eshel Avram, he brings that it could be this Megillas Tainis, specifically Chof Hei Kislev, Chanukah, is the teretz to the Veltz Kasha. We know that Chanukah is not mentioned anywhere in Mishnayos. Now, there are references to Chanukah in the end of Perek HaKoynes, and then there's a Mishnah in Masechtas Bikurim. So the word Chanukah appears in Mishnayos. But the story of Chanukah doesn't appear. And the truth is, if you think about it, not only should the story of Chanukah appear somewhere in Megillas Tainis, L'chaira, we should have a Masechtas Chanukah, right? You should have a Masechtas Chanukah. Every Yontif has a Masecht. You have Rosh Hashanah, you have Yuma, you have Sukkah, you have Megillah, Shabbos, Psochim. There's no Masechtas Chanukah. Why not? Chanukah has a whole bunch of halachas, and Shulchan Aruch, it's very long. So why is there no Masechtas Chanukah? And the story of Chanukah is not mentioned anywhere. It's Yidua that the Tamei Menhagim brings, B'Shem D'Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi purposely omitted the story of Chanukah from the Mishnayos. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the author of the Mishnayos, and he purposely omitted it. And he said the reason is because Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi came from Shevet Yehuda. Came from David HaMelech. He came from Shevet Yehuda. And we know the Chashmoinam were Kehanim, meaning they were from Shevet Levi. And after the Chanukah story, they took over the Malchus. For 103 years, the Gemara says the Chashmoinam ruled over Klal Yisrael. So being that they took the Malchus, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a little upset that they took the Malchus from his family and said the Chassam Sofer, even though the Mishnayos was written al Piruach HaKodesh, that was the Chassam Sofer's disclaimer, but it's brought down in the Tamei HaMenhagim, he says that he thinks that's why Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi didn't write the story of Chanukah. Says the Eshel Avraham, it could be, I'll tell you a more pashup shot. He says, you want to know why Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi didn't write the story of Chanukah? The ikar of it, he didn't have to. You know why? It's mentioned in the Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis was a braisa. It was before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. And everyone had the Megillas Tainis. This was something that people knew. This was a count. This was something every yid had to know. D'loy l'sanah behind, d'loy l'mispat behind. So I mean that this was something that they had to have. So it wasn't necessary for him to write it in the Masechta. Now, the truth is that even though there's no Mishnayis on the story of Chanukah, but there is Gemara. You know what the Gemara is? It's a Masechta Shabbos. It's in Perek Mem Adlikin. It's actually 8 days from now. It's 8 dafim from now. It's Shabbos Daf Chafalev. But the Gemara says, "My Chanukah D'Tana Rabbanan." So it's actually coming up next week. And Matzah Shem, we're going to go through the Gemaras about Chanukah. For now, we have some Tumah V'Taira and the Yud Ches Dvarim. But regardless, that's the first story. Just one other quick Ha'ara. And that is, so the Gemara says there were three things that are the legacy of Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Gar. Number one, the Yud Ches Dvarim. Number two, he's the author of the Megillas Tainis, whatever that means. Number three, he's Bram Zachar Oysa Ishla Toiv, Shomalehu Nigna Sefi Yecheskel. He went into an attic, 300 barrels of oil. Rashi says he ate the oil. Rashi says he used the oil for light. And what was his purpose? His purpose was to reconcile some of the seeming psukim in Yecheskel that would seem to contradict psukim in the Torah. And it's because of that that he's Bram Zachar LaTov. It's interesting, there are other Tanan that you find in Shas that were Bram Zachar LaTov. I'm familiar with another two. You have a Gemara in Bava Basra, Taf Chafal of Omer Alf. The Gemara says, Omer Avidah Merab, Bram Zachar Oysa Ish LaTov, V'Yeshua Ben Gamla Shemoy, Shel Molei Hu Nishtakach Torah Miyisrael. And the Gemara goes on to say that he set up a yeshiva system back in the day, and because of him, there was Torah. But Ilmole Yeshua ben Gamla, Nishtakach Torah Yisrael. Another Gemara is the Gemara Masech the Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Om Rabbi Yehuda Merav. It's again, Om Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Bram Zachar Oysa Ishla Toif, V'Rab Yehuda ben Bava Shemoy, Shel Molehu Nishtakchu Dinei Knossis Miyisrael. Says the word, Nishtakchu Batlu Dinei Knossis Miyisrael. So it's interesting that, you know, you don't think necessarily of Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Garin and Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava comes up more often in Shas. But the point is, these are three Tanaim that are some of the unsung heroes of Jewish history that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab, Bram Zachar Oysa Ishla Toiv. In the case of Yeshua ben Gamla, Shul Molei Hu Nishtakcha Toirim Yisrael. I mean, that's big. But the point is, Nigna Seif Yecheskel Nishtakcha Toirim Yisrael and Batlu Dine Knossis Yisrael. But just one very interesting thing. So why did he, what happened with Seif Yecheskel? There was some that seemed to contradict the psukim in the Torah, and the Chama wanted to hide it. They were going to be going to say for Yecheskel. So Chanan b'Chiz ben Garin said, I'm making it my mission, I'm going to reconcile these psukim. It's like this, we're not going to have to hide Sefer Yecheskel. In the mid-1970s, 1976 to be exact, Adar of Tovshin Lamedvav, there was a big tumult in Klal Yisrael about a sefer that was printed. It was a Pirush al HaTorah, and it was Miyuchis to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, the Rishon, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, as in the Sefer HaChassidim, as in the author of the Tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And this sefer was printed, I believe it was printed by Moshed Rav Kook, and it came out, this sefer, that a Pirush al HaTorah, that was Miyuchis to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. And it seems that somebody sent a letter to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein about this Pirush, because there were things in that sefer that Rav Moshe Feinstein felt was A, Amaratzis, but be outright kfira. And there were three specific shtiklach Torah that were in this sefer that Rav Moshe felt was kfira. I'll just mention one of them. One of them is related to a pasuk that's a little sasum. It's in Parshas Chukas. The pasuk says, "Oz Yoshin Yisrael es Ashira Azois Ali Be'er." So the Yidden sang Shira. Why they sang Shira? It was related to the Be'er Shal Miriam. And it's not clear what the Shira was. Now the pasuk continues and says, Be'er chafaru asarim karuah nedivayam, bim chaykik bim mishanoisam, mimidu matanim matanim nachlim, nachlim obamas, bimamas hagai. Some very cryptic psukim. And Chazal darshan these psukim. And Chazal say that those psukim were the Shira. So oz yashu yisro asa Shira, azoyis ali be'er enula. You want to know what the Shira was? The Shira was those psukim that the Torah mentioned. Stating that, in this Pirish ala Torah that was miyuchis to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, it said as follows. It said that Be'er Chafaru Asarim was not the Shira. So what was the Shira? Oz Yashi Yisrael Zashira Azayis Ali Be'er Enula said this Pirish HaMiyuchis Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, the Shira was Halal HaGadol. What's Halal HaGadol? So Halal HaGadol is what we say on Shabbos. Hoidu Hashem Ki Toiv Ki Lo'im Chazdo, Yemen HaYisrael Ki Lo'im Chazdo. Halal HaGadol. That's the 26 kiloilim chazdays that we say before Baruch Shamar on Shabbos morning during davening, that was what the Oz Yashu Yisrael said. How come we don't have it in the Torah? So said this Pirish, because David HaMelech took it out of the Torah, and he felt, instead of it being in the Torah, instead he put it in Sefer Tehillim. So David HaMelech plagiarized, on some level, a psukim in the Torah, the Halal HaGadol, really comes from Parshas Chukas. And David HaMelech took it out. Either way, so the Shoyl was from Schweiz, from Zurich, and he sends this letter to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe starts handling, and Rav Moshe says that if this is what it says, this is Fira, and he says you have to take it out, and he says it's chayef sreif. And Rav Moshe goes through the other examples in the tshuva of where he felt it was kfira in the sefer, and he says you absolutely have to get rid of it, and he says he doesn't care who it's meyuchas to. This is something that absolutely needs to be getting rid of. He said, but what do you mean? It comes from Yehuda Chassid. Rav Yehuda Chassid wrote it. So said Rav Moshe, even if Rav Yehuda Chassid wrote it, he said at the end of the day it's not possible that he wrote those three psukim. It can't be. He says it can't be. So it must be some apikoris, some kaifer who had an agenda. He manipulated this manuscript somehow and he put it in there. But he says, it's a geitim nishtan. The bottom line is it's kfira and it's kfira. He says, mitzvah lisarfa, you have to get rid of it. This tshuva is in Yerudei Chela Gimel. It's Simen Kuf Yud Dalet. Ramosha wrote another tshuva a few months later. And this is Kuf Tezvav. Incidentally, Ramosha writes in the beginning of Kuf Yudalid, he says, Me'achashe kibalti bedoyer shal esmol oid mechtov eich shemar misakish lohitzi es ha-sefer. Seems like this he had wanted to put out the sefer, and Ramosha told him not to. But he was misakish, right? He was actioning zechois. It was something that he really wanted to do. So Ramosha told him that muchrechani lohoshiv tekev, I have to respond to you immediately, afshalei nekel kokach mitzad chulshosi lo yoleinu Hashem yichaskeni. Ramosha apparently wasn't feeling well at the time. So he said, really, it's hard for me to respond right now, but he says, I see you're not going to let go. So I have no choice. I have to respond. Either way, so that was Simen Kuf Yodal. Kuf Tezvav, Rav Moshe wrote a second tshuva. The second tshuva was written to Yedidi Agoyin HaGadol HaMefursim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Shlita, Shalom Uvracha L'Oilam, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pinchas Yudches Tammuz, Tovshin Lamedvav. And he writes to him a second tshuva, and he told Reb Shlomo Zalman in the tshuva that I know that you handled it with Agoyin Reb Yashiv Shlita. So it's Gishmak. Reb Shlomo Zalman was involved, and Reb Yashiv was involved, and Reb Moshe was telling them what he thought. So it seems that this Yid, who was going to put out the Sefer, he wanted to put the Sefer out, and he wanted to take out those few things where there was kfir. So the three things that Reb Moshe pointed out that were obvious, that there were issues with, those were the three things he wanted to take out. But other than that, he was going to print the rest of the Sefer. So Rav Moshe told him that that's not okay. And it seems like this was the noise between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv. Could they print the sefer without that? So Rav Moshe told him you can. And Rav Moshe said, I have a raya berura. He says, you know what my raya berura is? He says, because Chazal say, bikshu lignei sefer Yecheskel. Chum wanted to hide sefer Yecheskel. Why? Because there were some things there that were soyse divrei Torah. What did Hanani ben Chizki ben Gorim do? Bram zocha oysa ish latoif. He reconciled it. Now he says, number one, why was it such a big deal that he reconciled sefer Yecheskel? Let's say they would have hidden sefer Yecheskel. Okay. So why is that the end of the world? Bram zocha oysa ish latoif. When it says about Yeshua ben Gamla, il molihu nishtach chaterim Yisrael. But what was so at stake over here? He said, the Teretz is pashat. He said, the pshat is, because sefer Yecheskel is one of the Sifrei Tanakh. The Gemara says there were really many Nevi'im, but Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doros Nichtava. It's a Gemara in Megillah Daf Yudalet. Nevuah Shelo Hutzrichu L'Doros Lo Nichtava. If Sefer Yechezkel was written, I mean Sefer Yechezkel was Nevuah that we need. So it was very important to have the Nevuah. Maybe we don't appreciate why it's Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doros 100%, but it was Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doros. So they needed Sefer Yechezkel. They needed it. Okay, the problem is there were a few psukim that were troubling. So, Frank, Ramosha, I don't understand. Just hide those psukim. Why couldn't they just take out those psukim? See, discusses are you allowed to take away from Sifrei Tanakh? And Ramosha says you could have done it. He came out, you could have done it. So he said, why didn't they just take out those psukim? So he said, Vaistais, it's poshet. Because once you have a sefer that has a few psukim that are soicing the Rei Torah, who knows that there's not more psukim? And even though you're not chapping it right now, this is very dangerous to have this circulating out. And therefore, the only other option was to hide it. So Chanan B'chizki B'gar didn't want it to be hidden. He didn't want, this is Nevuah Shehutzrichu L'Doros. So what he did was he sat down and he made it his life's mission to reconcile Sefer Yechezkel, and they ended up getting Sefer Yechezkel. But the point is, says Rav Moshe, once you have a chazaka, you have something that has one issue or two issues, for sure if there's three issues already, at that point you have no choice, but you have to get rid of it. You can't, because who knows if there isn't something else that we're not overlooking, and you can't just rely on omitting those few paragraph, says Rav Moshe. If that's the case, as relates to this sefer, once we found already a few things that are issues, clearly somebody tinkered Rabbi Yehuda Chas. It's interesting because there's truths from the Nei Rabbi Yehuda and the Divrei Chaim and Gedolei Yisrael about the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda Chas, where it contradicted Gemaras. But this is on a different level. That's a tzava that Nei Rabbi Yehuda said maybe Rabbi Yehuda Chas only meant for his family. Here you're dealing with a pirush ala Torah where there was outright kfira. That's what Rav Moshe said. So said Rav Moshe, I think this is his lashon. I hold sorry. He says you should burn it. He said, because right now, unfortunately, it's very possible people are going to be nichshol all in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and that's not good for the neshama of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. So it'd be much better, he said, if we go ahead and we burn the sefer. You have to get rid of it. You can't print it the way it is, that's for sure. He says he can't even print it by omitting those few passages. This is the tshuva that Rav Moshe wrote to Rav Shlomo Zalman and to Rav Yashiv in Tafshin Lamed Vav.